Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 235 for August 19th, 2019. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and today we will be discussing the 308th weekly report that I published, and you should be seeing that on your screen right now while I'm talking. But you can also go to timingresearch.com/reports and access your own copy, either the web or PDF version, and follow along with us while we're talking. So just a reminder also, you can listen to the audio-only podcast version of all Timing Research shows on your favorite podcast network. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today I have arranged for Jake Bernstein, Michael Guess, Mark Sachs, and Jim Kenny to join us. Felix Frey was also supposed to join us today, but he had something come up, so I'm going to try to get him scheduled for another episode soon. So watch for him. And Jim will be moderating today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David. And great to have everybody here. We're going to have a great show. We have a very good panel here. So let's start out and just introduce ourselves real quick so everybody knows who we're listening to. And the first one up today is Michael at daytradesafe.com. Could you give a quick background and basically a little bit about what daytradesafe.com is up to?
Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate it. And thanks also to Timing Research for letting me be here today. As I've said in previous times I've been here, DayTradeSafe has been supporting day traders for close to 20 years. I've been a professional day trader myself for over 25 years. I was one of the early SOS traders and put my time in the prop shops and so forth, but eventually started developing trading systems, mechanical trading systems of my own. In other words, not just indicators, but full-blown mechanical trading systems. And the one that I currently offer, the TradeSafe Mechanical Trading System, is available at DayTradeSafe, all one word, daytradesafe.com. Go ahead and go there, take a look around, opt in. You'll get a free ebook about some special chart settings and exit strategies that'll help you trade the minis if you like that sort of thing. It's for free, no obligation. And of course, I do provide coaching support, a full classroom, coaching room, trading room, etc. So without any further ado, I'll just turn it over to the next participant. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. And thanks a lot, Michael. Again, at the end of the broadcast, you'll be able to explain a little bit more about what offers you have and all that kind of stuff. Right now, we're just trying to briefly explain a little background on yourself. Mark Sachs, could you do that, please?
Sure. I'm Mark Sachs from Right Line Trading, and I appreciate David for inviting me this afternoon. We're at rightlinetrading.com. Just really briefly, our basic principle is, we always do a multi-time frame analysis for everything that we do. We also look at correlative markets when we trade the Dow. We look at the direction of our indicators, look at the direction of the NASDAQ, Russell, and E-mini. We trade a lot. I trade live every morning, and I've tried trader up, and we made just under $400 this morning. I'm in the room every day slugging it out with about 150 people. But really what we look to do is for, multi-time frame alignment and trend and a multi-time frame alignment and all the other parameters that we are monitoring. And that's what I'm going to show you, our assessment of where I think the E-mini is going to be going.
Okay.
So thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mark. And at the end, again, you'll have plenty of time to explain to people what offers you have and that kind of stuff. Jake, just a brief background. You've had quite a long history, but can you put it into a little bit of a background, and then we'll move forward on to some of the questions today.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
I've been trading since 1967. I'm a real trader. I manage money, my own money, just family money. I'm a short-term trader as well as intermediate and long-term. I'm strictly by the numbers. I'm a numbers guy. If I can't test it, I can't trade it. I believe that too many people trade things they're not familiar with in terms of results. If I can't get results historically over many years, I won't trade it. So that's what I'm about, and we'll talk about that more later.
Thank you, Jake. Sounds great. All right, the first question today, and we had $18 billion leave the ETF markets in the last 3 weeks. weeks. So there was big liquidation there, and now it's snapping back. So right now we're at around the 29.25, 29.30 area. And let's get an idea of where you guys think we're going to close the week out. Starting out with Michael, how do you feel about where we're going to close out the week on the S&P?
Well, let me go ahead and do a quick share here. Hang on. And hopefully you folks can see it. Now, these are not the charts I use for my own mechanical trading system. The reason why I don't share them is because they are fully automated and they talk to you. And it would just be too distracting to have my computer talking over me, telling me about signals. So I'm just showing you a bare naked chart. This is basically a daily chart. And I use a 405 minute. That's from 8:30 Chicago pit time till 3:15, 405 minutes for a true daytime session bars. And as you can see, it's pretty much in a trading range here. And if you drill down using the next largest integer that divides into 405, that's a 135, you can see that it's already begun an oscillation, a trading range. And I could even keep it up going further, and I won't do much more than show you the 81, which is also showing you the same oscillation. My basic point is this: we're in a trading range. And if we're going to make it to Friday and have a real, what I consider, persistent trend, we're going to have to break above this level right here, above 29.45 roughly, and follow through. That would, for me, on a daily bar, mean a close above that level and some other price action trading beyond it. By the same token, the lowest point down here at about 28.20 and a half, and that's what we would need to. And I'm using the ES, by the way, the mini, rather than the actual index itself. So we would need to trade outside of that range in either direction. So I'm actually just going to stand pat. I don't see anything between now and Friday that's indicating a possibility. We're just an oscillation.
Okay. Now, we've got a lot of earnings coming out this week, so we'll talk about reasonings and other things in a little bit. But right now, we're right back up and filled a gap from last week that filled down. So, Mark, how are you feeling about this market in this 29.30 neighborhood?
Okay, well, I'd also like to share. Let me see where my charts are. Actually, they're on the main screen here, if you can see those.
Sure.
Okay. I think the market, to a large extent, more than normal, is driven by fundamentals, and that is, you know, any announcement from Trump regarding trade talks with China, you know, in any of that, any of those tariff issues, the problems in Hong Kong are going to move the markets big time. So I'd be really cautious in that regard. But from a technical standpoint, if you look at a longer term swing chart, we're making sequential higher highs and higher lows. And based on the technicals here, if you're going to have to take a position, or you definitely want to take a position right now, I think it would have to be bullish. The other thing that I look at is I monitor Benzinga, which shows me all of the big options trades that are crossing and really gives me a good idea of what the professional traders that are putting in huge call or put positions, because these are screened, are thinking. And really, there's a tremendous predominance of call positions being placed as opposed to put positions. So also based on that, the big traders are placing their money long, especially the weeklies. So I would take a long stance on it. If I was going to trade, I would take a long position on the S&P.
Yeah, we're only about 100 points off the all-time high, so that's not very far considering all the news and jawboning that's been going on. But, you know, the technicals are the technicals. And Jake, what are you seeing on the technicals to give us an idea of what neighborhood we're in there around this 29.30 area?
I always like to ask the question, is the market behaving normally or abnormally? Normal behavior in the market teaches me nothing, doesn't give me an opportunity. I look for abnormal aberrations. That's where I make my money. So in terms of the big picture, the market is behaving completely normally. Typically, going back to the year 1920, which is what we do, the behavior of stocks in August is doing exactly what it should be doing. You start out August by declining, you come down, you rally toward the end of the month, come up toward Labor Day. And so everything's behaving normally. In terms of the big picture, make no mistake about it, it's a bull market. Even though the sell-offs have been gut-wrenching for a lot of people, the fast way to make money is on the big rallies that we get off these declines. And so in terms of that, normal behavior, don't want to be short this market other than for a few minutes at a time. But then again, I'm not a day trader anymore. I gave that up a long time ago. I think there's nothing to be gained by day trading. Personal opinion, no offense intended. But the bottom line is normal behavior, don't be short, should continue higher, but the big bottom doesn't come until October. So right now, cautious short-term trading, primarily from the long side.
Okay. Now, as far as a percentage confidence in your view, Michael, you were saying we're kind of in a range and hard to say if we break above about 29.45. I think you're thinking maybe get on a train for a higher level. Do you have any probability that we're going to either break through 29.45 or not break through 29.45?
Well, if I could get Mark to stop sharing first so I can bring mine up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mark, can you? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Mark, stop it, Mark.
Okay. He's doing too much sharing. Stop sharing.
Okay.
Just a reminder, guys, I do have the count set up to the so that multiple people can share at the same time, and I can just manually switch
okay.
Sure. What the audience is seeing.
I want my opportunity to share.
All right, Michael, you're up and running here. The question was probability of your opinion breaking 29.45 or not.
Well, it depends on your time frame. All you allowed us was until Friday.
Right. Just till Friday. Just between now and Friday, is it going to do it? That's it.
Breaking it is not a problem. Following through would be another problem. Again, I don't know. I know Jake's not a day trader. I am. Been doing it for a quarter of a century or more. And all I know is that I can be extremely accurate in 15 to 30 minute bursts. But I don't have that degree of accuracy when it comes to swing trading for a week or two or more at a time, unless I just want to buy and hold and go to sleep and wake up like Rip Van Winkle. So for me, I would have to see this bar right here. Again, I'm not using my normal charts because they are automated. They do talk to you and it would be a big distraction. I would want to see it break this high right up here at 29.45, as I was saying, and follow through with at least one higher close. Then I would have the confidence I would feel that we would see another possible week of higher trending. But for now, until we get out of this range, I'm sticking to pure day trading for this period between now and Friday.
May I interrupt?
Sure, Jake, what do you got?
Yeah, a little comment about day trading. I wrote the three best-selling books on day trading from McGraw-Hill, The Complete Day Trader, The Complete Day Trader 2, and All About Day Trading. There was a time for me where day trading was of great interest and very successful. But now in my old age, I'll be 73 years old in September, I don't find satisfaction in that anymore. It's too much pressure for me. I'd rather go for the bigger moves over the longer period of time. But I don't mean to diss day trading. I think if you can do day trading really well, keep doing it.
Yeah.
For me, it's not the right thing.
Yeah. And again, not every style is suitable for every single person. So
exactly.
That's all you're, at the end of the day, that's all you're saying. With regards to probability, Mark, on that we will be rising between now and weekend, possibly, what's your feeling? Do you have a percentage on that?
You know, I have about a 60%
okay.
Probability on rising. Yep. Really only because of the fact that any tweet could, you know, send the market down 500 points. I know there's a lot of positive feeling and sentiment regarding what's going on in the trade war with China, but all Trump has to do is pop one negative tweet and it's going to send the market firing down. I think if things stay as they are, I think we've got, you know, a better than 50-50 chance of continuing to the upside.
Okay.
May I share my screen for a moment?
Sure, absolutely. And you're going to give us some idea of your probability of how you feel right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you should be seeing my screen right now.
Yep.
Okay. So what we have here is a composite chart, Dow Jones, week by week with percentage odds for each week. So this is the month of August right over here. The last week's got 64% probability to the upside. The next 2 weeks are 50-50. So I'm going to give it a 50-50 proposition. What I'm waiting for is this right over here, the huge rally that we get from the middle of October to the end of the year, which this year should be a real, really big move. So that's the way I do my work. I can drill down to the daily if I wanted to, but again, as I say, that's not my cup of tea anymore.
On this screen here, what, because there's many rows and there's many different stock symbols.
You're not seeing, hold on one second.
Yeah, I'm seeing 9 million stocks and 9 million numbers.
Oh, hold on one second. Let me try this a different way.
Got everything from JCPenney to Tesla up there.
Yeah, hold on one second. Yeah, you're looking at, I'm showing you the wrong screen. Hold on one second.
While Jake is looking for his chart, if I can just make a quick comment.
Sure.
Again, nobody wants to get into any kind of, pardon my French, pissing contest about one method over another. It's a pure personal choice.
Of course.
But in the case of day trading now, at least according to what I've been doing, I prefer mechanical automated day trading, and it's not stressful. And I'm a numbers guy just as strongly as Jake is. So I don't do the old-fashioned stuff, you know, where you're treating it like a video game and you shoot anything that moves. That's outmoded.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah. Now, are you talking about something that would be considered auto trade, where some kind of signal sent to your broker?
I have that ability, but I personally think that once a trader has a degree of experience, they'll be able to beat any pure auto trading system, because they're bringing to the table the ability to consider what I call context. Simple things like, is there a report schedule coming out?
Right.
Support, resistance, and so on. My own graduates, my own students, not me, them, their track records are above 87% win-loss accuracy.
And they're managing the negatives pretty well, so it's not like a situation where the negative trade is so huge that the other ones are not really making up the difference.
Maximum they can lose on a stop out, if you were trading the minis, for example, if you're scaling out, is $100 per contract, 70 if you're scalping.
And not much slippage?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's some of the facts that people would investigate by looking into your stuff. And at the end of the day, they still have to pull the trigger, but you know, you're supplying the data of which they can make some decisions.
And all the coaching they would need so they can be benchmarked and build their own track record at the end of the course.
And I have no issues with that. I totally agree with you. This is Jake speaking. Did my chart change?
Nope.
No.
Son of a gun.
Maybe behind it. I see something behind it, Jake.
Yeah, because you were you're discussing some very important things, and I don't want people to miss out, you know?
Yeah.
Let me see how. Can you unshare me and I'll share again?
David, can you intervene here?
I haven't.
Jake?
Yes. Okay. Okay. There I just
Okay. So let me try to share again. Hold on, please.
Yeah, the seasonality is a factor, and this information is worthwhile to be aware of.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the summer doldrums right now, and of course, Jake pointed out, Labor Day is a biggie.
We had a meeting like this last month, and Jake and myself were saying that July could be a high point temporarily, or August, and it looked like July, you know, obviously it came off pretty good off of that number.
Did anything change?
In August, September. No, not yet. We're still looking at the ones with all the different stocks on it.
But Jake, you have a chart underneath one of the windows, underneath that table of all your stocks.
See what I can do here.
Chart. If you click on it, maybe it'll come to the fore.
Yeah, or if you hit the exit button on the one that's up there. Yeah.
There
you go. There's something.
Oh, now we're back to another thing here.
No, that's not what I want, but just bear with me.
Yeah, we're getting closer.
We are getting closer to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, please. Just let me do one more thing. Let's just give it a moment. So you are seeing a chart, right?
No, now we're back to seeing all those different stock symbols.
Son of a gun. I'll turn it over to somebody else until I can get this thing working.
Was it the seasonal trading thing chart?
Yeah. It should be a seasonal chart right now. Do you see that?
We were seeing that for a second, but it's back to the...
I'll just relinquish my time to anybody else. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we were going to go into another question here, so why don't we go into that, Michael? The question, I believe, has to do with what indicators do you tend to look at as far as making some decisions here? And I guess it really goes back to your service. So if you want to reiterate that.
Ideally, I'll tell you what, I will see if I can share this one screen here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to just show you what my normal layout looks like and hope that the charts don't start talking.
Yeah, well, that'd be great.
So let's see if we can use this one here. All right. Yeah, it's already talking. I'm not a super duper multiple monitor guy. I used to be a psychotherapist in a past life, and I know you can multitask yourself to death. So I try to keep it as simple as possible. Basically, I'm a multi-time frame guy, like Mark was alluding on his own opening statements. What I do is I use cycle space time frames for each market. So if this is, for example, the NASDAQ, if you want to arrive at three chart settings that give you the equivalent of a zoom zoom lens, like a wide angle, a normal, and a close-up,
right,
you'd want a 9-minute, a 3-minute, and a 1-minute. And okay, the 9-minute is your wide angle, the 3-minute is your dominant trend, and your close-up low-risk surgical entry is your 1-minute. And you can supplement that 1-minute chart right here with these two tick charts to give you additional entry opportunities. I'm looking for 4 steps, basically. 1, trend agreement. You need at least the 1 and the 3 to agree.
Right.
That gives you some follow-through and momentum possibility. But if all 3 agree, then you would want to adjust your ATM, your automated trade management exit strategy. I would prefer, for example, if it's a weak trend, only the 1 and 3 agree, maybe to scalp, right, assuming the risk is small enough. If all 3 agree, then I would want to scale out, swing for the fences, hit an easy to reach profit target, get my stop move to break even and a tick of profit to pay for the commissions. And then I will trail an automated profit stop and maximize the follow through on the trade. I have additional confirmation with an oscillator, overbought or oversold, so that you know the pullback, because this is a trend following system, simple pullbacks. And we're listening to it talking to us now. It's talking about breaking out and so on. But for example, if we were to go to a 233 really quickly, let's just say this is a pullback, you would always take a pullback and take the trade. But it's a very systematized, rule-based, Boolean logic, no shades of gray approach. That way, you will absolutely know whether it's legal or not to pull the trigger. And any user will also get that same exact signal.
Go right ahead. And I just was going to ask you a quick question. Like today's action, looks like we opened at 29.13 on the S&P, just using the SPX.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went on a pretty good run right there. And with your short-term 1 minute, 3 minute, 9 minute, you probably got some signals on the buy side today, correct?
If you had trend agreement at any point in time and it comes and goes throughout the day,
right,
then you would be looking for the next step, the pullback to the moving average with the independent confirmation and maximum risk being permitted. Again, you get immediate feedback. It'll talk to you and tell you visually and audibly if you got all the conditions met.
And it also tells you exactly where they're suggesting you put the stop or get out point?
It'll even do it for you.
I got you. I got you. All right. Well, that's very interesting. And at the end of the broadcast, obviously, you'll fill us in a little bit even more on the gaps. Hey, Mark, let's get you back in the conversation, Mark. We're looking for things that you're kind of looking at and you use to try to make your decisions a bit. Can you give us a little bit of a feedback on, you know, what goes into your formula?
On the air.
Sure. I'd like to screen share if I can find out if I can find out where I'm doing that. Okay, hang on. I think Jake still got his charts up.
Yeah, Jake, do you want to take yours down while he puts his up, and then when you come back up,
take it down, no problem.
Yeah, because I'm still seeing the one with all the different stock symbols, so we're still not reaching the point where your seasonal things are coming up.
Yeah, Jake's hogging the share now. So.
Here you go, Mark. Okay, great. There you go. Yep. Okay,
let me take this down. Just a little bit about my background. You know, I'm a Phi Beta Kappa graduate of the University of Pennsylvania. I spent about 12 years there training. After that, I was a professor at Jefferson University in Philadelphia. I've published 15 peer-reviewed articles, and they can all be Googled. Most of them are still indexed, even though I published them about 15 years ago. And it's all about mathematical modeling. And what I believe is that every single financial instrument behaves like a closed system. And what we have to do is define what parameters bring pressure on price to move off the right edge of the chart. And if you see the green background, you can see that's the multi-time frame alignment and trend. Now, the important thing to understand is that no assessment on this chart is made off a price on the trading chart. If you do that, it becomes a dependent variable. And what you always want to look at are totally independent variables, those that make their assessment off the higher time frames, not off the trading chart.
Now, Mark, can I ask you a quick question? Right now, you're looking at the NASDAQ, right?
Correct.
Can you throw up the E-mini and we could look at today's action and how the charts were looking today?
Sure.
And that gives people a little bit of a real time, or not real time, but, you know, kind of at least today's time on how the software was kind of reading things.
No problem. The only thing I have to do is just go to my data series.
Sure.
And change it.
Yeah, because you've had a pretty wide range of trading. So obviously, short-term trading things would be interesting to see, you know, how they did with catching the move, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So far, it looks like we've had almost a 20-point trading range, which isn't too shabby for one day.
Normal these days, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now, let me just open this up. Now, today, there really wasn't much on the E-mini on a short-term basis. Each color represents a different type of alignment on the higher time frames. Cyan is not quite as powerful as the dark green. So basically, you've got yourself a nice long trade here.
Okay.
And it's really the only low-risk trade. And those are really the only ones that I'm looking to take. Like, I trade off the right edge every morning. Today, we made just under $400. I'm looking to make, on a very small number of contracts, looking to make $1,000 a week after commissions. And everybody in the room can trade as many contracts as they like.
So on this type of chart we're looking at, and you were saying some are high probabilities more than others, what has to occur with these lines to go into the arena of a higher probability trade? Like, what, I got a green dotted line kind of going up, and okay, then I've got this big solid green one going up.
Okay, I can quickly, I can in literally 60 seconds go over everything. The candle is outlined in an order flow assessment off the two higher time frames. And really what it does is it looks at a delta moving average of each candle off the higher time frames. When the candle is haloed in blue, order flow is aligned to the upside, so you know you have significant buying pressure. When it's aligned magenta, you have selling pressure. And that's one independent variable that helps determine where price is going to move off the right edge of the chart. This is a 50 EMA. This is a 15 EMA of a 15 EMA. So it's not proprietary because it isn't patented, but you're not going to see it anywhere else.
Right.
This is what I think one of the most unique lines we have. And what it is a combined 15 period moving average with an ADR ADX line. So what it does is it measures volatility. And what I like to do is wait for volatility to drop and see this yellow line here and trade out of a yellow line and into an area of high volatility like this. So it not only acts as support and resistance, it tells you how volatile price is moving. And the bread and butter trades are going to come right here on the break of the pivot. Because when you break a pivot, you know that you're stopping out all the sellers in the pivot with nice volatility coming off of an area of low volatility with our 15 EMA. We call this the trend. The break comes with order flow, and you get a nice move to the upside in the most powerful multi-time frame alignment of trend that we have. And this green is really our bread and butter on all our markets. That's the best time to trade, lowest risk time to trade.
So the very dark green line going from 29, 21 or whatever up to around 29.26, that's a high probability zone. And the red line that is very much going down from 29.26 down to 29.21 again, that would be a high probability sell zone?
Well, I personally will never counter trend trade. And okay. So since I have no background bias and I know I have no multi-time frame alignment and trend, I would take nothing in this area here.
Okay.
I'm gonna wait for that multi-time frame alignment. Here it is again. There's the break of the pivot. There's your entry.
Right.
And you got a gigantic move.
Right.
So you just wait for the bread and butters, the dark pink for the shorts. And you can see every time you get that multi-time frame alignment and trend, because it's the higher time frames, price on your trading chart is going to rise. And here's your short trade. Perfect short, because you've got that multi-time frame alignment, volatility. There's your pullback. Perfect short trade. Very, very low risk, high reward trade.
Now this is all done on a daily basis. So at the end of the day, you put the bats and balls away and you're done for the day?
Yeah, I mean, we were done around 10:30. We made $395. I mean, one thing that I do is that I'm looking for 300 to 500 a day. When I hit my profit target, I stop. I think that's good trade hygiene, not to keep trading and trading and trading.
Right.
Eventually, you'll hit a loser on a perfect entry because not every single trade is going to work.
Right.
And whatever your target is, you hit it, you step down.
Right.
The other thing that I look at, these dots – There's a dot and an X. Now, on the E-mini, they represent the trend of the NASDAQ, the Russell, and the Dow. Now, if I take a short trade on the E-mini, I would like the Dow, NASDAQ, and Russell to also be going down. Now, obviously, there's not 100% correlation. The correlation coefficient varies from market to market. It's at least 0.7. The correlation coefficient with the NASDAQ is very high. With the Russell, is above 0.7. The Dow just barely makes it. But I know with these dots, and these are the darkest dots, they're different colors. In the same direction as all the other index equities. So that, in addition, increases the probability of the win. Then,
yeah, you're trying to see if the whole board is going up or the whole board is going down, figuring you're not going to fight the tape if the whole board's going in.
Right. I don't want to take a short trade on the E-mini with the Russell and the NASDAQ heading up.
Right, I got you.
On a multi-time frame basis. It happens sometimes. So you won't get these dots, and you're going to stand aside. Now, this first line is the same assessment, NASDAQ, Dow, and Russell, done slightly in a slightly different way. The second line is the multi-time frame alignment, is the multi-time frame direction of the Laguerre. And the Laguerre is a momentum assessment, and momentum is a second-order derivation because it measures acceleration. You want to know that price is accelerating to the downside, not just moving to the downside.
Right.
So I really like, of all the oscillators, stochastic, RSI. I think I like the Laguerre the best, and here's simply the direction of the Laguerre on our trading chart.
Yeah, you're trying to get the direction and momentum coinciding.
Right. Multi-time frame alignment, correlative markets, a lot of volatility. It's all done on a multi-time frame basis. You know, I'd say we're about 85% winners, 15% losers. If you wait for your trades and you wait for your low risks, listen, day trading is always going to be stressful because every time I enter a trade, my heart rate starts to go significantly. But if you have all this aligned in your direction, the likelihood of the market turning against you is unlikely. And let me just say one last thing. This is every financial instrument acts like a closed system. And it is not accidental that you're ever going to get a multi-time frame alignment and trend. This can't happen as a random chance event. The only way this can happen is the intervention of institutional money. So the only time that you're going to get a multi-time frame alignment and trend, order flow to the downside, all the correlative markets, Russell, NASDAQ, and Dow to the downside, multi-time frame alignment of momentum to the downside, is when institutional money is pushing the market down hard.
Yes, he's getting out. All right, listen, real quick, I want to go back to Jake to see if he has his chart up, and then we're going to go to the next question. So
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop my share.
Yeah. Are we up and running now for the seasonal chart?
Let's try it again, okay?
I'm sorry if I took too much time there.
No, I mean, we were trying to give time to Jake to get going, and then we're going to give Michael time to fine comb over his stuff over there too, Michael.
Okay.
I definitely
let me go to the share again.
Too.
I'm going to go to share.
Yeah.
And so when I go to share, you'll see my code board. And let me know if you do that, if you see my code board. Yes or no?
You're back to this thing where you're giving us all the different stock charts. Yeah.
So now I'm going to go to my seasonal trader chart. So just bear with me for a moment.
Sure.
And if it doesn't change, I'll go to plan B and figure it out by next time.
All right. Well, here you go. You got it showing here. Up. God, it keeps going back and forth. You're back on. Nope. Now you're okay. Whatever you're doing right now, it looks like you've got the weekly seasonal stock going back to, you're going back and forth.
So you don't see the weekly seasonal chart.
We did it for a moment, and then it comes back to the quote board.
Let's try it one more time.
Yeah. When you get it up there, there you go. Right there. Don't do anything. Let's talk.
I got it up. Let's keep it up, okay?
Exactly. There you go.
So going to August, looking at the bottom of the chart, you got two arrows up, one for the first week, one for the last week. In between those, you got 50-50 readings, which means could go either way. I'm not interested in trading. But come the last week of August, I will be long, so right now there's nothing for me. What I'm waiting for is the big move up toward the end of the year, beginning in mid to late October, which is shown at the top right of the chart. You see that?
Right.
Now, just a word about day trading. As I said, I have day traded many, many times, millions, of, probably hundreds and thousands of times, usually in front of large groups with real money. So I've had probably about 56 day trading seminars, live seminars over the years. As Mark said, I believe it was Mark, it's very stressful.
Yeah.
Even if it's mechanical, it's stressful. I traded with a completely mechanical system called the 15-minute breakout, which works extremely well. It still works well. It catches the big moves. But as I said before, these days, the probability of a geopolitical event which completely destroys your position in a matter of seconds, in a matter of one lousy tweet, is not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me. So I look over my trading and I say, where have I made my big money with the least amount of stress? I made it in holding positions, minimum 3 to 5 days, which is where I make my money, or my investment positions, which are held for months and years.
Right.
So the 3 to 5 day time frame is much better for me, trading only the day session. But again, I like to broaden my horizons. I don't look at just the S&P. I'll trade anything that moves
right.
in terms of futures. And so the approach is very simple. I like to know the date to get in, the date to get out. I like to know all my odds of success. And I'll show that next time when I'll do a search. Right now, I don't want to mess with the screen. It's doing what it should be doing. So that's basically my approach.
Yeah, and I think each speaker obviously has their own approach. Two of them are more linked to the day trading, and you're morphed into more of a swing trader and position trader, or definitely a seasonal trader who wants to take advantage of those pockets of the year where people seem to be doing major things. And at the end of the calendar year and the beginning of the new year, obviously things can get kind of active because people are making decisions about how they want to close out the year. And then, of course, the first quarter, they're making decisions on what they want to play for the year. So there's definitely some periods of time that have historical significance. There's no doubt about that.
David, may I say one more thing?
Sure.
Before I did what I do now, and this goes back to 1968, 1970, 1971, and so forth, I worked in a hospital as a clinical psychologist. So I have a little background in that. The one thing that I've learned about dealing with the trading public is this. You can teach people the best strategies in the world. They will find a way to screw it up.
Mm.
And so unfortunately, as good as my work may be, you put good work or a fast car in the hands of an idiot, they will find a way to make it not work. And then they'll come back to you and say, how come it's not working? And you say, it's not working because you're not doing it right. So for me, that is much greater of a probability of somebody screwing something up on day trading than it is in short-term trading. So while I don't mind dealing with the public, the trading public, the bottom line is you can't change some of their bad habits, even with a good methodology.
Right.
So I try to avoid all that. It's just too much work for me.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to have Michael jump in here, and I'd like him to walk us through maybe something that can explain exactly what he's got cooking, and maybe if he could do it with today's action in the E-mini S&P, and you know how things have read, and then explain what's going on with the system during the movement of the day action.
Well, can I just ask a quick question of Jake?
Yeah, sure.
Jake, how did you gather your data? I think the seasonal trend is extremely important, and for swing trading, I really think it's a very powerful parameter. How did you gather your data? Did you actually go back yourself, or is there a database? How did you accumulate the data?
We manually built a database from scratch going all the way back to 1890, and that happened about 15 years ago. Now, of course, it's easy to do because the data is all out there, but it's all available. Nothing special, nothing secret, nothing proprietary here.
All right, Michael, can we jump over to you and have you walk us through something like on the E-mini that happened today, and walk through a chart that kind of explains what the software has been indicating throughout the day?
Oh, thanks, Jim. I need Jake to go ahead and stop sharing so I can do that.
Yep.
Stop me out.
All right. Good to cancel.
Okay. He gave me a bad fill. I don't want bad fills.
And this is going to... Yeah, good to cancel. This is going to be a challenge because I don't think I can show all of my charts at once. I'm going to make an attempt to do it.
Well, let's do the best you can. Let's do the best.
All right. So, for example, I'm going to just pick. Hey, it worked. Good. All right. Now, I'm going to lead off by saying one or two things. Number one, I actually don't trade the ES because of institutional presence. I haven't day traded the ES since 2001.
But you've got the Dow on there now, right?
I have the Dow instead.
Everybody's familiar with it.
The Dow, the NASDAQ, and the Russell instead is because it's too small a sandbox for the institutions to come in and mess things up.
Right. So looking as the Dow as a model here, it'll give us some idea of what the Dow has been doing today, because the Dow's had a big range today of 200 points as well.
Well, if you... I have to wait for the computer to stop talking.
Sure.
First of all, if you folks can kind of mentally erase these horizontal lines, these are things like flow trader pivots and higher time frame support and resistance levels. But this is the close from Friday. This is today's open. And this is, by the way, what I call the wide angle view of today's intraday. Anything higher than a 9-minute setting, in my opinion, is useless for intraday trading. And if I can just take maybe 30 seconds out real quick and respond to something. Jake, like yourself, I was a psychotherapist in a past life. And I too agree that things can be stressful and that humans basically mess up stuff, which is one of the reasons why I include a very powerful tool that'll neutralize self-sabotaging behavior in the course that accompanies my system. So
You've addressed that reality.
Yeah, we do. It's actually something that Navy SEAL Team 6 uses to make sure that they maintain exact focus under stressful conditions. But coming back to what I was wanting to show you here, the Dow, of course, isn't offering us much on a 9-minute chart. This is representing a trading range right here. It's identifying it for us. Previously, we had down below an uptrend. But on the 1-minute and the 3-minute had been in a trading range while Jake was talking. Then it broke out, and now it's in a downtrend, as you can see right here. I'll maximize that very quickly. And you can see the color down below. So all these things are done for you. Once you know the absolute trend direction and you have trend agreement, right now the 1-minute is not in trend agreement with a Dow. But if it were, for example, like right here, it might have been, I would have simply used this pullback and I would have had acceptable risk, $45 per contract. It was actually making contact with the moving average. I have a zone of influence, you know, a sweet spot, and it'll identify it and talk to you and tell you. And of course, it was also overbought. This trade alone, I would still be in that trade automatically trailing a profit stop. I wouldn't have to lift a finger. So there's no stress. Once I'm in the trade, the automation takes over. You want to spend your time basically treating it like a chess game. Think strategically, not tactically. And this allows you to plan ahead, look at the big picture, and then when you get a pullback, it's just a question of parking a stop limit order and letting order flow put you right into the trade. So as a wrap up here, I'll just simply say a lot of people, they can buy software, including this system, and it is a full-blown mechanical system, but unless you have proper coaching and training, which I do in my coaching room, I don't just, you know, call out winners and hide losers. I deliberately take losing trades and require my students to journal each and every trade. And it's done in an automated journal so that that's taken care of. Treat it like a business. They've got a spreadsheet to know exactly why and how the best chart, the best exit strategy is the one statistically that's giving them the best results so that when they hit the end of the course and they are benchmarked, they will have an authentic track record that's unique for that individual person, personality, and temperament. That's done nowhere else in the industry. And that's why I can say 100% of my students last year, 2018, achieved a graduate win-loss ratio of at least 87% accuracy. So if people are interested, I'll go ahead and wrap things up by pointing out that right here, they can get more information by going to daytradesafe.com. You can opt in, get a free ebook. But if you want to know more about the trading system, go to /trading workshop. That's hyphenated. And you will get a full presentation that'll explain it. And you'll even have a link to schedule time with me directly. Not a sales call, no arm twisting. I'll answer all your questions. And after that, well, you can make an informed decision. At this point, I'll go ahead and stop sharing and turn it over to Mark.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. And I think there's a lot of value there for people to investigate further. So I do hope that they take advantage of daytradesafe.com and learn more. That coaching support, I think, is very, very important because some of this stuff gets pretty complicated to the average Joe. We're going to go over to Mark. And Mark, we are coming to the top of the hour. So if you want to give a little wrap up on, you know, again, who you are and how people get a hold of you. And if you have any special offers or anything, this would be the time to give it out.
Sure. I'm at www.rightlinetrading.com. Our number is 786-7732-4656. I just want to, you know, we'll we'll be happy to throw you into the trading room on a free trial, no problem at all. And we can demo the software for you. I just wanted to give you a couple of juicy options, if you like them. My first one is I still think there's a lot of upside on iShares China large cap ETF. I put in a spread, a 38.5 call spread. I missed it because it ran away from me, but I think I'm going to go back in. I think Bank of America ran away from me, but I really like Microsoft and I also like Qualcomm. So those are stocks I would just look at carefully for bullish positions short term, like weeklies. And just my last one for my yearly position is Albert Marie. It's the biggest miner of the stuff that goes into batteries. I have a 75 call spread expiring.
Palladium or something like that?
Electricity.
No. It goes into those long-term fuel cells.
Lithium.
Lithium. Thank you so much. The number one.
Cannabis.
World. And it was already at 76. It fell all the way back to 64. But I think on a 2021, it's $125 stock. And I think it's a great opportunity to buy it. It's way, way undervalued.
Yeah. You know, on the China idea, I was looking at some ETFs on China and Europe, and their one-year record is down, but their year-to-date is up. And that was indicating to me a little bit that the money is flowing into China and Europe. And we heard stimulus talk out of Germany, which could be followed up by stimulus talk out of Ms. Lagarde. So it could be interesting because, you know, everyone's on the negative Europe, negative China thing. And obviously the money based on these ETFs returns are starting to turn to the upside. We'll have to see if they have any legs. Jake, you always got a lot of stuff going on there. So give us a little bit of an idea of what you're thinking. If you had any recos or, you know, things you're looking at, what do you have?
Let me do this, David. This Wednesday, I'll be having a 2-hour webinar.
Okay.
Anyone who wants to come to the webinar where you will see what I do clearly and explicitly, just send me an email, jake@trade-futures.com. That's jake@trade-futures.com. I'll send you a login. You get an opportunity to see exactly what I do, and it's going to work. I won't have any issues about screen sharing, okay? So that's that. That's all I have to say about it.
Good. And I think people could take advantage of that. And also, obviously, like you're saying, get more information on the seasonal activities, which could be very important this year because it is coming in on Q in the July, August timeframe. And if it comes in on Q October, November, December, it could be nice information to have in your pocket.
Exactly.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm Jim Kenny, optionprofessor.com. And it's been good being the host here. Again, I have a podcast every week going
over. Oh, Jim, I thought I was talking to David. I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay. You can call me David. You can call me Jim. I'm very flexible. At any rate, so if you'd like to know my views on the stock market, bond market, they're obviously been very active, and the U.S. dollar, gold, and oil. Just simply to go to optionprofessor.com and get the link. And if you have any questions on anything particular, just shoot me an email at optionprofessor@gmail.com. I think we went over a lot of stuff, and we went behind the curtain quite a bit today, which I think is good. I think if you go to Jake's webinar, you're going to be able to go further behind the curtain that we were kind of unable to do, and I think would be worthwhile to go. So I'm happy with this meeting today, and I think there's value all over the town here. So do try to get a hold of the guys, daytradesafe.com, Right Line trading.com, and of course Jake Bernstein at trade-futures. And so thanks you guys for being here. I think we did a lot of good stuff here, and I'm sending it back over to David to close it up.
All right, thanks guys. Yeah, great discussion. So just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the reports or show archives. We did a multi-speaker event this last Saturday. That was a new thing for Timing Research. So if you didn't get a chance to see that yet, just go to Timing Research and scroll down a bit, and you can see those presentations. And so we'll be doing more of those in the future. And so watch for that. Also, the next episode of Analyze Your Trade, episode 90, will be tomorrow. So watch for that. And just a quick thank you for my guests again for today.
Thank you.
Jake Bernstein of trade-futures.com, Michael Guess of daytradesafe.com, Mark Sachs of RightLineTrading.com, and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.